Dr. Becky Kaczmarski, and I'm the owner of Kaczmarski Hearing Services. We've been in practice since 1994, and we're using new technology now, and welcome to our second podcast. I'm here with Sarah Rogenbuck. She is a provider here at Kaczmarski Hearing Services, and I'm here to interview her today about hearing aid technology. Everybody talks about hearing aid technology and how wonderful it is, but we're going to get a little deeper into it today to see exactly why it's different and what we do with it and what we think is important about that technology, because there are millions of options and combinations of things and different manufacturers and different styles of hearing aids. So how does one bring it down to the right one for you? So we're going to introduce to you Sarah Rogenbuck and have her say a little bit about herself.
Thank you, Becky. I'm glad to be here. This is probably one of my favorite topics. Anybody that knows me knows I love talking technology. I actually used to be a manufacturer rep, and that was probably one of my strongest points as a rep, was being able to talk about technology and explain it to not only doctors and ear, nose, and throat doctors and audiologists and dispensers, but also to be able to talk to patients about it.
So I know one of your reputations when you were working with the manufacturer is that people thought you were a trainer because you knew so much about hearing aids. Yeah, that's a nice thing.
It's
part of you.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of terms thrown around there for technology today. Digital, analog, programming, behind the ear, in the ear, CIC. So when you started dispensing hearing aids, tell me about what hearing aids were like back then.
Okay, so I've been in the industry 12 years now. And so over 12 years, a lot has changed. It was kind of that peak of when analog to digital occurred. Digital being that we're able to adjust them with computers now, we're able to alter the sound, it's a digital signal coming through. Analog was basically like an AM radio. And so there wasn't a lot we could do in terms of sound quality. There was a little, it's called a trim pot, so you can just turn it with a screwdriver just a little bit, and that was all you could do. So you would hope that you didn't move too quickly, because that was the extent of what you could do to try to alter the sound.
And I remember in between analog and digital hearing aids was something called digitally programmable.
Okay.
So that was a fancy screwdriver. Sounded like it was a digital hearing aid, but it was still an analog processor. So talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so as they were improving upon the circuit, there was multiple of those trim pots that you could change. And ultimately, the goal was to try to give more control over the sound quality. So it was an improvement, but it still wasn't anything like today where we can actually have a fully digital circuit that we can alter. So if a patient comes in and says, it's muffled, there's an adjustment we could do. Or we can adjust soft sounds separate from loud sounds. So whereas before, you would kind of have a, well, we gave it a good hard try.
Well, we have like four slider bars, and we kind of guess where they would land. And now we have millions of combinations of different things we can adjust.
Correct.
Yeah.
It's really changed. And another big change over the 12 years has been the feedback management. Mm-hmm. So back in the day, hearing aids, you couldn't walk through a door without whistling. And so over the course of my career we've seen that change. We're able to modify that so you can hug each other again. You don't have to worry about squealing when you hug somebody or safely walk through a door without having the feedback.
I think one thing I remember about feedback is that we would have to plug up the ear so we wouldn't get a leak. And the leak is the feedback whistle that we got. But people didn't like the feeling of being plugged up. Mm-hmm. A digital hearing aid will allow you to have a more open fitting so your voice isn't distracting and very loud. It's a much more natural way to walk around with a hearing aid is to have an open ear. And the battle with that was that you would always have feedback when you had an open ear. With a digital circuit now, we can open up the ear and cancel out that feedback digitally. And that's a big thing I found in our changes.
Definitely. I know that it was, what can we plug the vent with now? We'd put the foam in there. We'd put the vent plug in
right,
there.
Right, so we stop the feedback. Then they come back saying, I feel plugged up.
Yeah,
so.
I feel like I have my head's underwater. So.
Right. What are one of your favorite new advancements in hearing aids these days?
So I think probably one of the things that I enjoy most about hearing aids today is the ability to have, if someone has an iPhone capability, the ability to have an app where you can adjust in real time. So often patients come in and they say, well, in this environment, can't you just come to this environment with me? well, that's not very, we can't always do that. So, you know, a lot of times people say, well, just bring your equipment to that environment. But in real time, it gives you some ability to make those adjustments on the fly. So when you're in that environment. Now, it doesn't undo everything we do at the office. I think that's noteworthy. So it's still important that you come here. There are parameters that we still have to control in the office, which is important because we've prescribed these hearing aids based on our testing, and we want to make sure we're not straying from that. But it gives the ability to adjust, maybe to help with some of the background noise or to intensify something more clearly in front of us. Mm-hmm. So it gives some control without undoing what we've prescribed based on the hearing test.
Yeah, it's really important. I think one of the new buzzwords in hearing aids is artificial intelligence. And the manufacturers are starting to come out with those that will learn individuals' preferences and needs in real time. And with adjusting on a smartphone, an Android or an iPhone, that's a big thing. And I know one of my favorite manufacturers is coming out with a hearing aid soon that has artificial intelligence as well as sensors inside the hearing aids, and they would kind of combine a hearing aid with the Fitbit type of technology for risk fall management. So people will not have to wear a button if they fall. The hearing aids will detect if there is a fall. Those types of things are very, very important and right around the horizon. So soon a hearing aid is going to do more than help the hearing impaired. It'll help their healthy lifestyle.
I think that's going to be a big game changer in the industry. I think all along the way, there's been these next step, and I'm excited to see what that looks like because I think it will pull in a whole another consumer market for that.
Really will. Mm-hmm. Younger market as well. Mm-hmm. We typically make adjustments to our patients' hearing aids in the first week or two, but why are these adjustments important?
Well, I think that before, talking back to those little trim pots and adjustments, it was kind of like, well, there's nothing else we can do. But the reality of today is there's so much that can be adjusted and fine-tuned in order to make a patient comfortable with sound. So, you know, it comes back to this idea of let's not give you your full prescription overnight. You didn't lose your hearing overnight. So we're able to enhance the sound gradually so that the brain can acclimate to the sound. So the fact that we're able to gradually increase to a more comfortable level. And then also I always say to patients, there's prescription and there's perception. And really with hearing, I think you have to marry those two. And so when perception comes into play, those adjustments help for specific environments where maybe they perceive sound differently than someone with the exact same hearing loss.
That's really true. Talk to me about the different styles of hearing aids. There's behind the ear, in the ear, completely in the canal, that type of thing.
So predominantly when I started in the industry, it was mostly in the ear. And that was the big, they're all molded for the ear specifically. Whereas over time now, it's mostly this behind the ear where it has a thin tube that feeds into the ear. It's called a receiver in the canal. And what that does is it's back to what we were talking about, a natural sound. We're not plugging up the ear canal. So today we see mostly these receiver in the canal. Now, some want to have something more discreet and tucked down into the ear canal. Those are certainly options as well. So it really depends on the hearing loss, mostly, first and foremost, and then based on preference and environments.
It's an individual recipe for everybody that comes in the door, that's for sure. So once again, if someone's interested in learning more about hearing aids or getting a hearing test, how would they go about doing that?
So they would give our office a call
at 616-538-8220, or especially check our website, kazmarskihearing.com. There's a lot of information on there.
Definitely. And I think, again, it's part of just coming in doesn't mean you necessarily have a hearing loss, but a baseline is so important.
Right, just to get it on paper, just to see if there's any patterns or changes that we need to look at, and sometimes refer out to your physician, or we just have a lot of education.
Yep. And we do get to demonstrate the technology in office, too.
Right. So we can try hearing aids on right in the office, and we walk outside, and we have sound samples, and we learn a lot. So thank you. This is our second podcast. Thanks for coming, Becky. Thanks for having me. And if you have any questions, just give us a call and schedule an appointment with one of our professionals. Thank you.
Thank you.